Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Send In the Clowns with one of my favorite co-hosts, Dave McGowan. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Maria. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I hear you got quite the heat wave going on in California.
It seems to have broken today, but yeah, the last 4 days have been brutal. It's been like in the low to mid 90s since Friday as as winter comes to a close. I mean, it's still officially winter for another few days here, but sure hasn't felt like it lately. But today it's cooled off quite a bit, so
that's
hopefully
good.
It'll be a good day today.
Yeah, I heard from some of my friends in California, they've been running their air conditioning already.
It's been smoking hot, and of course Sunday they ran the LA Marathon. I think it was like 94. I think it peaked at like 94 or something like that. Not the best weather to be running a marathon in. Of course, when they planned, you know, I'm sure they planned this thing months ago and had no idea that we were going to be in the midst of a massive heat wave. But I'm sure the medical tents were very busy on Sunday here.
Have you seen the reports that NASA is saying that California's only got a year left of water?
No, I haven't. No, I have not seen that. What? Where was that public? Who was that? A study done by someone? Or
yeah, well, NASA supposedly did it, and they had pictures up online of your, I guess, wherever your water is stored. And they're saying that, you know, people should go into, like, you know, mandatory water usage, you know, reduce their water usage. And yet, at the same time, Nestle is pumping all your water out and selling it in bottles.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
gotta make
it's
a buck.
Valuable commodity, I guess. So, I guess it's time to get the hell out of Dodge. You only got a year left here, huh?
That's what they say. But then, can we really trust anything that comes out of NASA's mouth? Never straight answer,
yeah,
NASA.
Not so much. No.
All right. Kind of makes me wonder if they want everybody to leave so they can come in and buy it cheap on the dollar, like Detroit or after Katrina.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I hope we don't run out of water because this is the only home I've ever known. You know, I mean, I was born and raised here, lived all 55 years of my life here, and the greater LA area, so I would be completely lost if I had to pack up and relocate to another state.
Well, you know, I did that. You know, I did that quite a few years ago when I was 40. I was still living in New York, and I just said, you know, I don't want to live and die in the same place. And that's when I moved to Arizona. Just thought I'd toss the dice.
Maybe I just need some incentive to move on.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Dave.
Yeah, it's not like California's been all that good to me lately, so.
Well, it is a happening place, though. I understand your beaches were polluted this weekend, and people were still in the water, even though they told them we have raw sewage rolling up on the beaches.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty far from the beach these days. I don't get down there too much, but yeah, I heard the beaches were pretty well packed over the weekend. People enjoying the summer and winter thing that we got going here.
All right. Well, you know, speaking of NASA, I've been dying to talk to you since I saw this article. Actually, David Icke had posted or reposted it first on his site, and that's where I got it. That NASA's Orion engineer admits they can't get past the Van Allen radiation belts.
I've seen that posted a few places on Facebook, and I think I actually may have reposted it on my own page. I'm not sure, but that's just the latest. I mean, for anyone that's paying attention, that's really just sort of the latest admission that we don't actually have the technology necessary to send men to the moon. You know, they previously acknowledged that we don't have a spacesuit, any material that's suitable for fashioning spacesuits that would withstand the environmental extremes, temperature extremes and whatnot on the moon. And they've talked about the lunar dust, you know, that there would have to be new technology developed to deal with the lunar dust, and various other things that have come out over the years where, you know, if you don't even have to really read much between the lines to realize that if they're saying we don't have the technology now, then obviously we didn't have it 50 years ago, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, how that makes any logical sense to anyone to say that even now at this point in time we are lacking various elements of the technology that we would need to do a successful moon mission, and yet people still want to believe that even though they will admit that we don't have it now, people still want to believe that somehow we managed to do it 50 years ago.
Exactly. Well, you know, the writer of the article says, why the guessing game by NASA? Why don't they just use the same 1969 technology they're said to have used on the first Apollo moon missions?
Yeah, I mean, why, you know, I mean, that's what I've said repeatedly. Why reinvent the wheel when we had technology? And not only did we have technology, but we actually had technology that had a much greater performance record and safety record than what we had now, you know? I mean, we didn't lose a single person on the moon missions, and, you know, all of the lunar landers performed flawlessly. The lunar rover supposedly performed flawlessly. The command, you know, every element of the technology that we supposedly took to the moon performed flawlessly time after time after time. We can't even duplicate that now, you know? I mean, we can't even launch a space shuttle without blowing one up every now and then, you know?
Right.
But yet back then, we could do far more technologically advanced maneuvers and do them flawlessly. So it's like, not only did we have technology then, supposedly, but we had better performing and safer technology then, which, you know, which raises the obvious question, why reinvent the wheel? We already have perfect, you know, technology that performed nearly perfectly, with the exception of Apollo 13, which still made it back, you know, still got our guys back alive and well. You know, if we had technology that was that advanced and that, you know, performed so flawlessly and so safely, why in the hell do we need to completely reinvent the wheel now to redo what we did 45 years ago?
Well, don't you think?
It makes no sense whatsoever.
Don't you think it might be because Stanley Kubrick is dead?
What's that?
I said, could it be because Stanley Kubrick is dead?
we've got plenty of people that could put together something nowadays, you know. But the problem is if we did it now, you know, it would be so much better done, you know, whether we actually made it or not, you know, I mean, whether it was faked or whether it was real. The images and the video and the photographs and everything would be so vastly different from what we were shown, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, that people would, you know, that it would wake people, they would say, wait a minute, these shots look nothing like what we were shown, you know, way back when.
Right, and
so,
they can use Steven Spielberg.
Even though they can take it much better now, that would just raise that many more questions, because it would just, you know, it would highlight how amateurish the fakery was back in the 60s.
Right. Well, you know, this NASA engineer, his name is Kelly Smith, I guess he's working on the supposed Orion space mission to Mars. And he said that he's really, his biggest concern is whether or not the spacecraft can successfully go through the Van Allen belts. And he said that the danger is so real that they want to send a dummy craft first in order to test out what the potential radiation effects would be on future human crews, as well as the ship's sensors and equipment. Now, we didn't hear any of this in the 60s.
So we got to go all the way back to square one and send up dummy crews and dogs and monkeys and all, you know, it's like we've turned the clock all the way back to where we have to start all the way back at step one in order to do this, supposedly, which, yeah, I mean, how can people not realize, you know, that they've been lied to for decades.
Well, maybe,
you know,
maybe they think we went around the Van Allen belts the last time. Some magic happened.
But, you know, I mean, like I say, it's not just the Van Allen belts. It's various other things they've talked about, you know, like, creating this technology that would allow the astronauts to move in and out of the landing module without bringing any dust into the craft, and problems with re-entry and problems with the Van Allen belts, and, you know, just on and on. And there's a very long list, actually, of problems that NASA has over the years identified as major hurdles that we need to get over before we can do this.
Right.
And,
well, I remember.
And they never mention Apollo, you know, right. No reporters ever, you know, seem to question that, you know. It's like, wait a minute, why are you telling us this now, and yet we're still supposed to believe that we've already done it, you know?
Right. Well, you know, when I see these posts, I always post your website and tell people to go look at your series on Wagging the Moon Doggy. So you might be getting more hits on your website lately because of it. But I remember the most important thing out of our series we did on the moon, Dave, was when you said, and if you think about it, how insane is it, that we didn't do any practice runs. We got it right the first time. We landed on the moon the first time and took off with no problems on the first time. I mean, what are the chances of that?
Yeah, I mean, with technology that couldn't possibly be tested in real world situations, because it's not possible to recreate conditions on the moon here on Earth in order to test run this equipment, you know, these various components of the technology to see if they would actually work in that environment, you know. So,
right.
Remarkable. I mean, it's pretty ballsy of old Neil and Buzz to hop on board that untested spacecraft and head all, 250,000 miles off to the moon.
Well, that's
no guarantee whatsoever that any of this technology would actually work. You
right.
know?
Well, that brings me to, now that you mentioned Neil Armstrong. That brings me to another story that kind of came out at the same time as this one, that suddenly after his death in 2012, his wife found all kinds of stolen goods, they might call them souvenirs or artifacts, in Neil Armstrong's closet from his trip to the moon.
Yeah, all stuff that was supposed to have been left on the moon or something, and yet, it's been stored in Neil's closet for the last 40 years. these stories will periodically surface, you know. I mean, like the hoax moon rock that the Dutch government or one of the it had it on display for decades,
Right. Proudly
displayed as the moon rock, and suddenly found out that it was actually a piece of petrified wood that they'd been displaying for all those years. So, you know, these stories will pop up now and then and, you know, raise a few eyebrows, but yet there still seems to be a very strong desire among most people to believe, you know. People really, it's easier, you know. I mean, like, as with anything else, it's easier to just accept what you're told than to go through the psychological process of reevaluating, you know, what's real and what's not, you know.
Well, you know,
it's easier for people to just go along with the lie than to
Well, some people
go through the psychological process of reevaluating, you know, their worldview.
But when you start to find out, as you did, as we've been doing the show for 15 years now, Dave, as you start to find out that everything we were ever told is a lie, it's really a hard pill to swallow. It's a reality slap across the face that you can't forget.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's life changing, you know, to really come to terms with just the full extent of how much and how many things we've been lied to about, you know, throughout our lifetimes. It's not an easy thing to do, you know, and, you know, I mean, it was rough on me, you know, I mean, when you go through that reawakening process, it's a, It's not an easy thing to do.
It takes
a lot of strength and courage to stand up and say, you know, this, I've been lied to. I've been lied to my entire life. And, it's tough.
And then they wonder why we don't trust anything the government or the media puts out. I don't know about you, but I suspect a conspiracy on every story I see.
Anymore, you know, I mean, yeah, you can't pick up the newspaper or turn on the news without, without hearing something that just leaves me just shaking my head. Like, how could they possibly report that with a straight face, you know? I mean,
well, that's
how
one,
in the world...
Right, that's one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about, because, you know, I do follow your Facebook posts, and we have talked before the show. What do you think about these cop shootings in Ferguson? At first they wanted to say it was one of the protesters, then, you know, 2 days later, oh, no, it wasn't. And then you got a couple of cops that were shot in California shortly afterwards. And from what I understand, they were shot on the same corner or the same street corner that one, you know, innocent American was shot on. So they're making that being targeted.
Ezell Ford, I think his name. Yeah, right. one of the very controversial police shooting cases. Yeah, the one in Ferguson. I mean, that just absolutely reeks to me. It just absolutely, positively reeks of being staged. You know, I don't think anyone got shot, to be honest with you. Whoever the shooter was, if there was a shooter, was either firing blanks or just firing off at nothing, would be my guess. Cause I just find it very, very hard to believe that this happened as advertised, you know. Like you say, at first they said that the shooter was quote unquote embedded in with the protesters. Open fire on a line of 40 heavily armed cops, and somehow managed to shoot two of them, supposedly, one a headshot, and the other one standing right next to the other one. According to one of the reports that I read, these guys are standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder, in a line of cops, and one was hit in the head and one was hit in the shoulder, and supposedly with a handgun. You know, that's what the police said initially, that the handgun was used. The reason that they claim that, I would imagine, is because they were trying to sell the story that whoever the shooter was quote unquote embedded with the protesters, and obviously it would be a little hard to conceal a long rifle, you know, a long arm, a sniper rifle. So they claim that it was a handgun, and of course, you know, the initial police account was widely contradicted by numerous witnesses and numerous reporters who were on the scene and have been on the scene for months covering the protest, who all said, you know, very clearly that the shots came from the hillside well beyond the protesters, and that the shots were fired from something like 150 yards away. And, you know, I'm not a gun guy myself, but, you know, that seemed very suspicious to me. And I, you know, asked a couple of friends of mine who are into guns, and they said that kind of marksmanship is just wildly far-fetched. To think that somebody with a handgun from 150 yards out could hit two guys, you know, could land a headshot and a near headshot from 150 yards out with a handgun, that's just that's stretching credibility pretty far.
Right. Well,
and
to me,
the most recent reports now they're saying that he fired from within a car, that he was sitting in a car. So I'm like, that. Okay. So now, not only was he 150 yards out with a handgun, he was 150 yards out in a car with a handgun, and yet he managed to pick off two cops. You know, which.
Right.
And then, they initially said that the cops both suffered life-threatening wounds, and yet they were both treated and released on the, you know, within like a couple of hours. They were in and out, treated and released. I'm like, how do you get shot in the face with a .40 caliber bullet and you're in and out of a hospital the same night? You know, that's, you know, and then there's the fact that they haven't identified the officers. They haven't shown us any pictures of these alleged wounds, you know. And, you know, the goal here is obviously to create sympathy for the police, you know. And so, you know, why would they not show us any pictures of these supposed wounds to, you know, generate further sympathy for the, for the police department? And why haven't these guys been identified, you know? When I raised that question on Facebook, you know, of course I got a couple of hostile responses from people saying, well, you know, when stuff goes down, you know, they routinely withhold the identities of the officers to protect them from retaliation and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And well, yeah, when police, you know, egregiously overstep their authority, which they've been doing on a regular basis lately, then yeah, their identities are withheld to protect them from retaliation. But these were two cops who were themselves the victims of an unprovoked assault, you know? And so if they were identified, they would be hailed as national heroes. I mean, you know, the media would be just spawning all over these guys, and other Facebook pages would be getting flooded with visitors, you know?
They could raise the money for them. Right.
They could set up some GoFundMe pages and raise hundreds of thousands of dollars overnight, you know. I mean, these guys would be hailed as national heroes if they were identified, not being victim of retaliation. So why have they not identified these supposed officers that were shot, and why have we not seen any sympathy-inducing images of this supposed shoulder and face wound, you know?
Right. Well, you know, two things. You know, when a story changes all the time, especially in the first few days, that's usually a sign of an inside job or a false flag. And the other thing, my thought was, but here you just have half the people that work for the town of Ferguson, you know, the city manager, this one, that one, they had all already quit and resigned their jobs. There's like no real reason for anybody to have shot anybody because they have an exodus of all the criminals that have been in charge, including the judge.
Yeah. Another thing is, how come there was no response? How come there were no shots fired back from the police? You know, I mean, we see videos like now on like almost a daily basis of the police gunning somebody down for virtually no reason whatsoever. You know,
I mean, twisting a screw in their hand, a screwdriver. Some guy just got shot dead for having a screwdriver in his hand, or a dog getting shot, or a 92-year-old veteran getting shot in a nursing home.
Yeah, I mean, you had this homeless guy here in L.A. just a couple weeks ago who. The guy was lying on the ground, he'd been beaten, he'd been tased, he was being physically restrained by like four or five bulky, you know, officers.
Right.
And then just out of nowhere, they open fire on the guy. I mean, he's already on the ground, he's already been beaten, he's already been tased, he's physically restrained, and they open fire on the guy and just blow him away on the spot, you know, for nothing. And yet, in Ferguson, when somebody in a crowd of protesters supposedly opens fire and takes out two cops, there's not a single shot fired in retaliation? I mean, really? Does anybody honestly believe that that would happen? You know, I mean, what should have happened is it's inconceivable to me that these cops didn't just, these heavily armed cops didn't just open, if the shot, if, if they had, if any of them had actually believed that it was the crowd of protesters that were shooting at them, they would have fucking opened fire immediately, and there would be blood running all over the streets of Ferguson right now, you know?
Right.
I mean,
they shoot for a lot less while trigger happens.
You don't just gun down two cops and not expect to have a fucking massive volley of gunfire returned, you know?
Well, my thought was, too. Right, my thought was, too, do you think that if and when they catch, they say they supposedly have that shooter. But you think he's going to get the same grand jury that Michael Brown's killer, Darren Wilson, got?
Yeah, he is, because, I mean, the guy making the statements to the press is the very same district attorney, this Robert McCullough guy, who's already, you know, stepped in immediately to take charge of the case.
Well, then they should let him go, then, right? Shouldn't they let him go by the way that grand jury works? He should be free to walk the streets and raise $1 million.
And they also tried to claim that this guy had been a part of the protest. You know, he'd been seen out there numerous times. He was out there this day, and which again was immediately contradicted by all the community activists and reporters and whatnot. He said, "We've never seen this guy before. He's never been out here. We didn't even see him out here on that day." You know, so who this guy is, I have no idea. Some 20-year-old kid. And, you know, from the reports that I've seen, there's no indication that the guy had any law enforcement or military or any other kinds of firearms training, and yet the guy can shoot pretty damn accurately with a handgun, I gotta say.
So, you know, right.
So, I mean, the whole thing just absolutely reeks. It really just absolutely reeks. They're also saying that they're all saying, well, you know, a gun recovered during his arrest matches shell casings found at the scene. I'm like, well, since when were there shell casings found at the scene? According to all the reports that I've read up to that, they weren't even sure exactly where the shots had been fired from. So how the hell did they recover? And they're saying that he fired from inside of his car. Wouldn't the shell casings have landed in the car?
Right.
So how did they recover these shell casings at the scene that match his gun?
Wow.
You know?
It's called planted evidence. That's what it's called, planted evidence. Dave, I'm sure you saw the story where you have an APB out for a 27-year-old rookie cop who shot some guy after a bar fight in California this weekend. And all I could think of was that other story about that ex-cop that you and I were covering, I forget his name, where it was one of the first, you know, lock yourself in place deals where they shut down the whole town looking for that guy. Do you remember his name? And they blew up his house, the house he was in.
Was that the Dorner, Christopher Dorner?
There you go, Christopher Dorner. That's all I thought about when I see this young cop who now they have an APB out for him and an arrest warrant for murdering somebody in a after bar fight.
Yeah, it's been covered in the paper here, but fairly low key. It's been a fairly low key kind of thing, you know. I mean, they don't want to admit that. To any criminality by the cops, but this guy's got, he went missing, apparently hasn't reported for duty, and is the prime suspect in in some murder, so where that's headed is hard to say at this point.
What'd you think about the LAPD just getting a 4% pay raise this year and 2% next year, because they're the best police force in the country?
Well, best in terms of what?
Following Hitlerian orders, I would assume. Best at killing Americans.
But they had what seems to be a fake shooting of two cops here just a few days ago. Supposedly, two cops came under fire, except that they weren't actually hit, and neither one of them was really. They said they were treated at the scene. It said for injuries. What kind of injuries? I have no idea, because they couldn't even verify that these cops had even actually come under fire. And this is the second time that's happened in fairly recently, where two cops supposedly, came under fire, but weren't actually shot. And then police were never able to really verify that anyone had even fired at them, you know?
All right.
they're just returning fire at phantoms or something. So, yeah, there seems to be a whole rash of these very questionable supposed attacks on the police, you know? And in key places, like, you know, New York, L.A., and Ferguson, which are, you know, three of the places that have had some of the most questionable acts of police criminality, you know, in the last year or so. And so that's where we now see the cops supposedly coming under attack. But if you look at these cases, they don't add up, you know, time after time. And it just seems to me like a very, very obvious ploy to change the national dialogue from, you know, holy shit, the police are out of control, to holy shit, the police are under attack, you know?
Well, I gotta tell you though, you know, on one level, you, as I'm sure, would agree, Dave, the cops are killing close to 1,000 Americans every year, and some reports say that that's an understatement. Sooner or later.
Yeah, they're averaging over 100 a month far this year. It's already up to
protecting and serving.
Well over 200 this year alone.
All right, protecting and serving. Now, you know, sooner or later, even the dumbest of the dumb in America are going to say, if the cops aren't following the law, then they're lawless. And you know, people like to take the law in their own hands when they see no justice at any point. So I don't think it's a stretch to say that we will see real insurrection sooner or later.
Yeah, sooner or later, you know, and that's, you know, I'm sure that's what makes these stories more credible than they should be to a lot of people, because there is a lot of anger and a lot of resentment towards the police building in the country, you know, and you can totally understand how these things, you know, could happen, you know? I mean, somebody's lost a son or a loved one to police violence, you know, at some point they're gonna strike out, you know?
Right, Prozac Nation, sooner or later, they're on their last Prozac and their last nerve, and bada bing.
Yeah, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
You can see how these things might happen, you know, but from what I've seen so far, they seem to be highly questionable, highly dubious, and have a definitely a staged quality to them.
Right. Well, you know, some of the dialogue I'm hearing, Dave, and I don't know if you have yet, is a lot of what are normally sensible people now saying that we need a federal agency and we need to federalize the police so they're all the same and they all have to follow the same rules. And I look at that and say, that's like welcoming a one world order police state.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you wish for, you know. I mean, that could be exactly what we're being maneuvered into supporting, you know, is a, you know.
Federales.
Yeah, I mean, just sort of a domestic military force, you know, centrally coordinated. And we've made huge strides in that direction anyway already, you know, with technology and information sharing we've seen, you know, the cases where state, local, and federal law enforcement official agencies will work very closely together on these high-profile cases. So, you know, we're already seeing a merging of the various law enforcement entities. So, you know, that I'm sure that is a goal. Ultimately.
And make people willingly accept it. Make people actually ask for it. Yeah, I don't forget who it was that said, when democracy finally dies in this country, it'll die to the sound of laughter and applause.
Well, I mean, that's the genius of the system, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. The propaganda is that they make us ask for what they already are planning to give us anyway.
Right, asking for our own enslavement.
Yeah, we cheerlead our own, our own enslavement, yeah.
Exactly. Dave, we're going to take a short break, but when we get back, I know you've been covering or keeping up with the trial of the Boston bomber, so, and you have quite the take on it.
I don't know if I'd even call it a trial, but
we'll come back with that. All right, hold on. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Okay, welcome back to Sending the Clowns, and now we're going to get really down and dirty. We're going to talk about the I don't know what you would call it, a bogus trial or a stage trial on the Boston bomber, supposedly the bomber's brother. I noticed you had quite a bit that you've had to say on this, Dave, and I can tell you, nobody sees things the way you see them. So you always have such a unique perspective. Let's talk about Judy Clark, defense attorney.
Judy Clark, yeah, an obvious hired gun. She keeps to herself. She doesn't do like media interviews. She rarely talks to the press, and she runs around the country doing her assigned job of intervening in these very high-profile and wildly controversial and, you know, extremely dubious cases. She's been involved with the Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, Eric Rudolph, the, you know, Olympic bomber, Jared Lee Lochner, who, you know, supposedly gunned down the Gifford gal and the judge and whatnot in, where was it, Arizona, I think.
Right. What about Zacharias Moussaoui?
The guy who supposedly shot up a Jewish community center, Zacharias Moussaoui, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, you know, one of the alleged, 911 conspirators, and now, the Unabomber case. It's not just coincidence that this same gal shows up alongside all of these very high profile, defendants in these cases that are dubious at best.
Would you want her to represent you when you see what happened to the other people she's represented?
She's being hailed in the media as this great attorney because she's kept her clients off of death row, you know.
Big
and
love.
I'm like, well, she should have got them acquitted if she was any good, because if you look at the actual cases, you know, especially this one is just absolutely unbelievable. And her very first, her opening statement to the jury was, "He did it." That was her opening. I mean, you know there's something seriously wrong when your defense attorney begins the proceedings by declaring you guilty, you know?
Right.
isn't that supposed to be the state's job to prove you guilty? Aren't you supposed to be innocent until proven guilty? And isn't your attorney the person in charge of doing everything possible to, portray you? And yet she begins, basically she threw in the towel from day one. And, according to media reports, she's working on the penalty phase of the trial. You know, she realizes that this guy's going to be convicted. It's an open and shut case. And her only real option is to, try to save him from execution. So supposedly she's already working on, she's basically conceded the guilt phase of the trial and is working towards the penalty phase, which is just absolutely unbelievable, considering that this kid actually has the best defense you could possibly have, which is, how could I have possibly committed this crime when it never actually occurred? You know?
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty damn good defense, I think. And yet, Clark immediately began the proceedings by declaring him guilty and has sat basically mute through the prosecution's case. According to a report in The Guardian, she did not cross-examine a single one of the first 19 prosecution witnesses that they presented. Not a single question. Nothing. Not a word. And these people were blatantly perjuring themselves. I mean, just blatantly, you know? I mean, I have no legal training myself. I could go in there and get this kid acquitted, you know?
All right, you probably
easily. Because these people, you know, you got this cop who goes in and claims, hey, I was the first one to get the Crystal Campbell. I stayed with her. I covered her with my jacket. I escorted her to the medical tent. I stayed with her till midnight, blah, 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 blah. All of which is just complete bullshit, and which can be very easily proved because there are a whole series of high-resolution photos floating out there that conclusively demonstrate that he did nothing of the sort. And all she would have to do on bother to cross-examine at all is display these pictures for the jury and ask the guy, did you show us, sir, in this picture, you are?
Hey, you're cutting out, Dave. Hold that thought, because your phone must be dying. Okay, your thought. Dave, your thought. When you look at...
all you would have to do is, it's very simple, all you have to do is bring in a series of the photographs, display them, you know, for the jurors, and just confront this witness and say, could you show me, sir, exactly where you are in this image in relation to Crystal Campbell? Could you show us, you know, in which of these images were you putting your jacket over her? In which of these images can we see your jacket placed over her? Or here's an image of Crystal Campbell being wheeled off the scene. Could you show us where you are as you were escorting her, you know? I mean, and this guy could be just made to look like a complete fool and liar. Before the entire jury and the entire world. And yet he had to have known that wasn't going to happen, you know? This is all scripted. This is all, you know, just completely fraudulent. Because there's no way this guy would have gone in and given this testimony if he thought that he was actually going to be cross-examined on it. Because, you know, he obviously knows that the testimony is not going to hold up.
Right.
And that's true of virtually all of the prosecution witnesses that they have presented. All of their testimony could be impeached just by referring to the photographs, you know, and contradicting what they're saying, you know. Well, here's a photograph that directly contradicts what you just testified to, you know.
Right.
And yet she hasn't done that. She has instead, you know, she has not cross-examined them at all. So,
well, it's
you know, the whole thing is obviously just...
It's the same thing, Dave, it's the same thing the grand jury did in Ferguson, even when McCullough admitted that he knew his witnesses were lying. It's the same thing the 9/11 Commission has done. It's the same thing the Warren Commission did during JFK. And it's just more lies on top of lies. And I think because you've done so much work on those other stories, that, and especially all the fabulous photos and tear apart you did on this on your site, what do you call this? I know you did a whole series on Boston because we covered it. If somebody goes to your page, where do they find it? What's it listed under?
I think it's called...
Let me bring
it. I changed the name of it from what it was originally. I think it's called the Boston Marathon Bombing Fully Exposed or something like that, with the fully exposed being a reference to the fact that it's the photos, you know, the photo exhibits that make the case. They really
speak for
themselves.
Yeah, and you have so much. I mean, you got, 16 parts to it, and I'm looking at it. It's the Boston Marathon Bombings Fully Exposed. formerly titled A Curious Case of the Man Who Could Only Sit Down. And that's
davesweb.cncos.com.
Yeah,
originally was focused just on Jeff Bowman before I realized that, the fraudulence went well beyond. I mean, because I knew immediately that his story was him. The Jeff and Carlos story was, which, by the way, has that idiot been called to testify yet?
I don't think so.
Carlos Arredondo, oh my God.
I know that Jeff Bowman was. He testified. One-sided testimony.
Yeah, he testified, gave a new and slightly different version of the story that he's told in different forms.
And he wore shorts to the trial. Shorts, Dave, to really amp up his story.
Yeah, because it's uncomfortable for him to wear pants, supposedly. I mean, I'm sure it had nothing to do with, graphically displaying his, legs for the jury, of course, and generating sympathy. But again, his testimony, and that would have been a little trickier thing to do because the guy's got so much sympathy among so many people, but still, I mean, his testimony could be just completely and fully revealed as fraudulent, based on the photographic evidence. And obviously this gal's not going to do that. She's not even going to cross-examine them at all. She's just basically going to let the prosecution present their case, convict the kid, and then try to save him from the death penalty, which is just...
so he can rot in prison.
Absolutely,
like Sirhan
appalling and terrifying. It's really terrifying. I mean, we've already got, we've already seen repeatedly that the police have the authority now to serve as judge, jury, and executioner, and it won't be questioned, regardless of how much video evidence and how blatant the criminality is. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to come from it. So we know they can get away with that, and now we're learning that even if you manage to get yourself a trial, it still doesn't mean anything because the criminal justice system is just as corrupt as the law enforcement community. And, a trial apparently means nothing now. They can put on a completely fraudulent trial before the entire world and apparently get away with it,
Right.
So, the scary world we live in, who do we really have to turn to these days? We can't turn to the courts. We can't turn to the police. Who do we have? Who do we have to turn to in time of need nowadays?
We only have ourselves. We have ourselves 300 million strong. But trying to educate those 300 million who still want to pretend that their lives are happy and none of this is happening, I think until more Americans get killed, till more of them end up with a family member of theirs in the justice system, which will happen. Okay, look at Ferguson. 85% of the people there have been arrested and have records. 85%, Dave. I think, people waiting for somebody else to save them, I can tell you it's not going to be the Republicans or the Democrats. It's not going to be your priest or your pastor. Okay, it's going to be, 350 million strong. But, I mean, trying to organize Americans, even get them to get educated, it's like pulling teeth. Everybody just wants to pretend their little world is perfect.
Yeah, it's...
I was driving with one of my friends, and he didn't put his seatbelt on. You know what I said to him? Put your seatbelt on. If a cop stops you, you could end up anally raped. And he looked at me like... He looked at me like I was crazy, but I'm reading these stories all day long. There's got to be 20 a day minimum on Facebook. Traffic ticket, your taillight's out. The next thing you know, you're dead in the street or that old man and his wife. Cops thought they were suspicious and anally probed them in the street for drugs or whatnot.
As you said before, the police are killing on average over 100 people a month, and that's probably a low estimate. And
right.
those are just the ones that are killed, What about the ones that are just beaten senseless or pepper sprayed or tased? I mean, those got to run into the thousands a month of people being just brutalized by the police.
But their chief always has the same reason to exonerate their cops with the sentence they're doing what they're trained to do. And that needs to get through to people's brains. They're trained to kick the shit out of you. Cops are trained that you are the enemy. You're dangerous and you're the enemy. Protect and serve went out the window years ago. They are now law enforcement officers, except they don't obey the laws themselves.
Yeah, well, they don't have to, and they know that, you know, and, you know, more and more, I'm getting the feeling that they actually want us to see these videos, you know, they want these videos proliferating on YouTube, because it disempowers us, you know, it makes us feel powerless, it makes the situation seem hopeless. If we see this going on and them getting away with it time after time,
I don't know. I think it's
You know, it makes us feel disempowered. It's like, what can we, you know, what the hell can we do? You know, I mean, we've got these guys committing blatantly committing crimes on videotape, and we've got witnesses lining up to confirm that, and yet still nothing happens. I mean, not only do they never face criminal charges, they don't even lose their goddamn jobs over this shit, you know?
No, they get paid leave.
You know, it definitely is a disempowering tactic. And also, it clearly emboldens other police officers across the country, because they're watching these videos, too, and seeing what they can get away with, you know?
Well, as long as they are not prosecuted the way everybody else would be, you and me, you know, look at that black guy got 13 years in jail for having two joints on him, two marijuana cigarettes on him, 13 years. Cop can be raping your child and gets 45 days. I mean, until people see justice, I mean, these are real stories. I'm not making them up. But my thought is maybe these powers that be that want to disempower everybody should start reading the insert sheet of all the drugs that Americans are taking. Read the insert sheets on what the side effects of those drugs are on people. Suicidal thoughts, maniacal thoughts, makes you want to go out and kill. Sooner or later, this legal drug system in this country is going to trip all these people's trigger, and bingo, zombie apocalypse on deck. That's my thought.
Oh, none of these cops are on mood-altering drugs,
or steroids, you know?
None of these cops are popping Prozac and Luvox and Elavil and all this shit,
and steroids, you know? Maybe they're sticking the steroids inside their donuts, you know?
Before we run out of time, briefly returning to the Boston thing, one of the questions that's come up repeatedly is, you know, given the you know, obviously very fraudulent nature of this trial, why is the kid going along with it? Why is the Sarnoff kid sitting in court quietly going along with this as his attorney declares him guilty and declines to cross-examine?
Maybe he's drugged out.
Witnesses that are obviously perjuring themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's three possibilities that have come up that I've, you know, heard through Facebook posts and email that I've received and whatnot. And one is that the kid is mind controlled and, you know, is just going along with it because he doesn't really know what the hell is happening. Or mind controlled and or heavily drugged. The other possibility, some people have suggested that, like just about everybody else in this sordid tale, the kid's an actor and, you know, and knows that he isn't facing any real consequences. So that's another possibility. And the third possibility is that, from what I've heard anyway, family members and close friends have said that that's not him sitting in the courtroom. It's a stand-in. And, you know, at this point, I can't really say with any, you know, certainty which of the three it is. What do you think? What are your
well, you know, when you said stand-in, I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was wasn't it Saddam Hussein's wife who was brought into the courtroom? She was said, "I've been married to that man for 23 years, and that's not my husband."
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah.
So I mean that. Look, to most Americans, that kid looks like any Arab or any Muslim. So they could disappear him after this trial real easy. No one would ever recognize him. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it could be a double, could be drugged out. I mean, you know, the other thing that's not getting mentioned is, you know, the murder of Chris Kyle and Kraft International, who was originally, if you remember, the first pictures of the backpack guys with the hats on their head were Kraft International.
Yeah, they were definitely on the scene. There's no question about it. You know, they pulled up in their little black SUVs and scurried around doing whatever the hell it was they were doing, which is, you know, one of the aspects of it that's most people have long forgotten. But, yeah, there certainly was a connection there. Yeah. So
I guess we'll have to stay tuned, and I'll have to trust that you're on, Dave's on the case. Dave, we're out of time, so I guess you better stay on the case so we can talk about it some more next month.
God, the hour, your show always goes so fast. I always start out wondering, what the hell am I going to talk about to fill up an hour, and then we inevitably run out of time.
Dave,
so,
after 15 years.
This is a good thing, I guess.
Right, after 15 years, I would think it should flow pretty easily between the two of us.
I mean, there's just so much bullshit out there, you know.
I know. I totally hear you. Well, Dave, thanks so much, and I'll talk with you soon. Stay cool.
I will do my best. Thank you, too.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Dave McGowan. Check out his website, davesweb.cdchost.com. Dave tears it apart, and he's got a perspective. He's got a perspective most people just miss. They just don't have it. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you're listening and you don't have a subscription, never made a donation, come on, okay? It's 15 years. You damn well know the show is worth it. I don't like begging like I see so many big sites do. I roll in the dough every month, by the way, guilting everybody into it. You know how to do the right thing, so just do it. Hey, there's a Nike statement. All right, well, that's today's show, and I'll see you guys on Thursday with the blasted news, so stay tuned.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.